And stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Brother Ricky and the worship team had another song on the agenda this morning, but I don't know that there's a more fitting song for what I want to talk about this morning than that song we just sung. Because holy is the Lord. And this morning we're going to be talking about marks of a disciple. This is part two. And in doing this, I want to talk to you about sanctification and being sanctified. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading verse number 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. I'll get it out here in a minute. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You may be seated. We just finished singing a song of worship to the Lord. Because truly He is holy. Would you agree with that? If you don't, you haven't read the Bible. God is holy. Do we understand it? There is no unrighteousness with God whatsoever. He is the very essence of righteousness, holiness, love. All that is good, God is. And it blessed my heart to see as you engaged in worship. But I really hope this morning that you really understand or understood who and what you were singing about. Because in the passage that we've read this morning, the Bible talks about being imitators of God. And if we're going to be imitators of God, it will involve holiness. Some of you may remember this. You remember traveling with your kids? And they learn that spot in the back seat that you can't reach because they've been reached so many times. Maybe you remember this. Caleb Buckles, come up here for just a minute. Maybe you'll remember something along this line that will strike a chord with you and help you to start getting the mode of thinking what we're thinking about. For those of you who don't know this tall, fine-looking, young, single, handsome dude, this is... He looks like his mama. No, he looks like his daddy, actually. But this is Brother Brack's son. And so I've asked him to come here. I'm going to let you stand right here behind the pulpit. This is a dangerous thing, I know. And I just want you to... You know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Amazing.
You want me to do that? I can't see.
Okay.
Okay.
Y'all look very nice today.
Y'all look very nice today.
And I good looking.
And good looking.
Amazing grace. How?
Amazing grace.
And then you'd hear something like this. Mom, he's copying me.
Mom, he's copying me.
Okay, you can go sit down now. Oh. But think about it for just a moment. You know, the kids, we'd get on to them and we'd tell them, you know, y'all behave, quit copying your brother, quit copying your sister, whatever the case may have been. Yet in the passage that we read, we're to be imitators. We're to be a copy image of who God is. At least in our lives, we should strive. We should have a desire to live according to God's word, so that when people see us, they see him. And here it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Now, does he say just do it on Sunday morning? Does he? Does he say just do it some of the time? No, he doesn't. So what it tells us as followers of Christ, 24/7, we are to be imitators of God. That should be part of our purpose as we follow Christ, as we cultivate our relationship with him, is to become more and more like Christ. More and more a copy image of who Christ is. This word, sanctification, it's about holiness. A simple definition is to be set apart for the master's use. If you're going to be set apart, that means you're going to be different from the world. In the preacher's commentary, they say sanctification is a forgotten word in the Christian vocabulary and has to do with holiness of life. Personal, but not private. Did you get that? Personal, but not private. We should live a holy life in public. Does that mean that we're never going to make a mistake? Heavens no, we're human beings, and we live in a fallen world, but there is a desire in our heart to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And when we fall, and when we sin, and when we do not, there is conviction that comes. There is, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and there's immediate response. There's a sense of a response of needing to pray and ask Christ to forgive you, to say, I'm sorry, Lord. However that looks in your life, there is a repentant type spirit that comes at a point when you're not living a holy life because the Holy Spirit indwells you. Be imitators of God. Sanctification is a process. Now, we are, when we become saved, we're justified. We have been forgiven of our sins, and the simple definition of justification is just as if I'd never sinned. And then we are to be sanctified. At that point in time, we become set apart, and then we begin the process of sanctification. Some of us, it's a little further trip than others on the sanctification part. But it is a process, and it is a pursuit of holiness. Marks of a disciple. There will be a desire to pursue holiness. There will be a desire to become that imitator of God. There will be that desire to become more and more and more like Christ. Paul said it in Romans. He said we were predestined to be conformed to the image of God, His dear Son. That's that part of sanctification. We become more and more like Christ. In Acts chapter 11, you read about Barnabas. Barnabas goes to Antioch, and he encourages them there. Then he goes on to Tarsus to find Saul. You know who Saul is? Saul of Tarsus. The man who was traveling and killing Christians. But he had a life-changing transformation in Christ, and he became the Apostle Paul. But before he became known as the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts, we see where Barnabas goes and finds Saul of Tarsus and brings him back to Antioch. And they stayed with them for a year. And they taught, and many believed, and many followed. And it says this, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? What does the word Christian really mean? Christ-like, little Christs. They became a copy image of who Christ is. Now, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, be imitators of God as dear children. You cannot be an imitator of God without being His child. You can attempt. You can try. Let me tell you something about a child. Have you ever noticed when you're talking to somebody's child, all of a sudden you see a mannerism, you see something about them that reminds you of their parent? Oh, y'all have never seen that? I just wonder. I've seen it. I've seen it in your children. You've probably seen it in my children. A friend of mine was talking to he and his wife, and she was talking about her husband and something that he did, and she says, oh no, I've married your father. Why? Because there was a likeness that she saw in him that reminded her of his father. And he says, be imitators of God as dear children. Somewhere along our relationship with Christ, when Christ indwells us, somewhere along the line, it has to work out in where we talked about last week, where it says, work out your own salvation. There comes a point in time where our salvation, what's happened on the inside, works to the outside, and people will see in your life that there's something different about you. You remind me of one of those, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, Christians. Be imitators of God, of Christ, as dear children. I want to give you three marks that we see here. First of all, there's the mark of love. This morning in the Bible study hour, there was a study of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, self-control. And as in the curriculum so accurately points out, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. All of that should be evident in the life of the Christian. You can't just go and cherry pick the one you want because you think you're good at it. It's all of this. It's all encompassing. There's the mark of love. And in this passage, notice what it says. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ. And you could stop right there And we can preach a whole sermon just on walking as love as Christ and pointing out all the demonstrations of love that Christ displayed as he walked this earth, as he touched lives, as he healed the sick, as he healed the broken, as he mended lives time and time again. You could just stop right there and preach a whole sermon. But notice what he says. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. Wow. Realize Christ loved you and loves you. Loves you enough, loves me enough, that he died on the cross. He made a way whereby we could be justified with God. We could be made. He made atonement for our sin. He did the work that it was necessary and is necessary for men and women to be reconciled with God. And he says, walk in love as Christ also loved us. Now here it is. And given himself for us. Let me tell you the first one of the marks of love, it's a giving love. It's a giving love. You cannot love without giving. You're going to have to give of your time. You're going to have to give of yourself. You're going to have to make some effort when it comes to loving. This is a agape love. This is not a sensual sexual love. This is a pure, unadulterated love that Christ displayed for us. And he says, and first of all, he gave himself for us. It was a giving love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Philippians chapter 2 talks about, we talked about it last week, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Giving. Not only is it giving, it says, and he says, in verse 2, given himself for us an offering. An offering, when you talk about it in its pure sense, is something that's presented to a deity. And Christ's love was that he came, made himself of no reputation. He gave himself on the cross as an offering. It was not self-serving. It was something he did unto the Heavenly Father to make atonement for our sin. Now, how does that relate to us when it comes to imitating God and loving as God loves? Well, first of all, we have to give. We have to give of ourselves, of our time. We have to be deliberate about this. We have to be intentional about it. And the offering side of it, sometimes you're going to be called upon and compelled to love somebody that you just don't feel is very loving or lovable. Some of you are thinking right now, yeah, you just called out my spouse. But what you do, you love as an offering unto God. You love people not because you're going to get something in return. You love them as an offering unto God. If you're going to have the mark of love in your life, this is the kind of love. This is what it looks like. I will tell you, I look across this auditorium and perhaps some of you are more lovable than others. I know some of you. And you know me. We'll make it even, all right? I know there are times I'm not very easy to love. No amen, sweetheart. That's not the time. I know. Yet Christ, as an offering, gave himself for me, as an offering unto God. He died on the cross as an offering unto God. He loved me. And we, as an offering unto God, as a disciple of Christ, to imitate God, to walk in love as Christ, we have to remember that when we have the mark of love in our life, it's not about us. It's all about him and what he wants to do in and through us. Not only an offering, but it also it is an offering and it is giving. It is giving, it's an offering, and it is a sacrifice. Notice what it says. Who gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Sometimes love is sacrificial. Many times, oftentimes, it's sacrificial. Let me understand what sacrificial means. The best way I can say it costs you something. It's not always monetarily. It's not, sometimes it can be. Sometimes it's your time. Sometimes it's just the effort to reach out to somebody when you didn't feel you had the time. But the best way I think I can describe sacrificial, it is not self-serving. When it comes to, if it's monetarily, you give it not expecting anything in return. You take the time not expecting anything in return. You make the sacrifice. Why? Because you understand love's giving. You understand love is an offering unto God. And the sacrifice that you make in the process as a follower of Christ, it's not about what you did. It's that the fact that it's not self-serving, it's because you love Him. The mark of love. It is not self-serving. The second mark that we see of the disciple this morning is the mark of light. The mark of light. So what does he say? He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. And notice this phrase, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We've already talked about the children aspect of it. And he says, you are light in the Lord. When we follow Christ, we understand light is something that illuminates a room. We understand light is something that illuminates the space in which we are in. In this passage, he talks about light as something that exposes the darkness. So first of all, let's just look at the light explained. Look at what he says. To walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, here it is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let's just stop right there. Here we are. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians. If you weren't Bible study this morning, go to Galatians chapter 5. Read about the fruit of the Spirit. Let the Lord speak to you about that. Get the Sunday school curriculum, the Bible study hour curriculum. And look at it, read it, study it, understand what the fruit of the Spirit is. But he describes it, he says it's in all goodness, all righteousness, and truth. Let me just break these down for you real quickly. Goodness is the quality of moral excellence. The quality of moral excellence. Righteousness, morality as given by God. What did Matthew write? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So it's a morality as given by God. Truth, conformity to actuality. It's not relative. Truth is truth. It's not about what's true for you is your truth and what's true for me is my truth. No. It's a conformity to actuality. What is truth? Truth is truth. Whether you accept it or not, it's still truth. So how does this come to us in the aspect of light? We're to walk as children of light. We are in Christ. We are the light of the world. The Bible says a city that cannot be hid. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are the light of the world. And Paul admonishes us as followers of Christ to walk as children of light because we are light in Christ Jesus. Because the Lord lives in us. The light of the world lives in us. We're to be the light to the world. Now, the light explained. The second thing that I would say, you know, you may, Pastor, you may ask, say, okay, how do you differentiate between what you should do and what you shouldn't do? How do you know what is really something that is appropriate and that God would be pleased with? And I would say, always ask yourself this simple question. Is this of God? And what I mean, is this of God? Do you find something in the Word of God that is for this or against this? Is it a black and white issue? Is it true? Is it righteous? Or is it a falsehood and unrighteousness? Is it okay or is it sinful? Is it of God? The darkness exposed. He talks about this. He says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, don't confuse this with this love that's supposed to be marked in our life. The Bible says that the world, you will become an enemy of the world, and the world is not going to like you. Why? Because you are a follower of Christ. And the light exposes the darkness. I understand the premise. We're to love everyone, and we are. However, as followers of Christ, people need to understand there is a right and there is a wrong. There is a sinless life in which we strive not to sin. There is certainly sinful activity at work in this world, and it will be until Jesus comes again. And we have a responsibility as light to expose the darkness. Read this past week about a Baptist church up in Washington that has a lesbian couple and has just voted them in as their pastor. Let me tell you something. Light exposes the darkness. And that is unbiblical, it's unrighteous, and it is downright sinful. And shame on Calvary Baptist Church. Why? Because the light exposes the darkness. Should we love it? Absolutely. We should pray for them. And I mean sincerely. Pray for them. Because it is unbiblical. The Bible is very plain. And it's very at the point. And it says the light exposes the darkness. We are to expose unrighteousness. We're to love as Christ loved. We're to reach out to those who find themselves and their lives wrecked and ravaged by sin. Because he does remind us we were once all in darkness. And it's because of his love, because of his sacrifice, because of his offering, we are in the light today. But we cannot for a moment become accepted. Why? Because it blurs the lines. It allows people to think in some way they can live however they want and it'll be okay with God. Because it's not okay with God. I'm going to have to hurry on here. The darkness is exposed. Notice what he says. Go back up to verse 3. But fornication, we know what that is, sexual immorality, sexual sin, and uncleanness. It's not talking about whether or not you take a bath or not. It's talking about having purity in your life, living a clean life, a life that is not practicing sin, or uncovetous, or covetousness, desiring something that don't belong to you, we're not to covet. Let it not, and notice what it says, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, things that are obscene, pornography, watching things you ought not watch, foolish talking, which just really means stupid or rash conversation. In the original language, what it said, stupid or rash conversation. It goes on to describe it as a drunken person. You ever been around anybody that's been drunk and they just start ranting and raving, just go off what we would say in our vernacular, the deep end in a conversation? You go, where in the world did that come from? He says, or coarse gesturing. That literally means the power to invoke laughter. Now, hear me out on this. Number one, laughter is a good thing. That's not what he's saying here. Laughter is a good thing. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. So laughter is a good thing. But what he's saying with coarse jesting, he's talking to evoke laughter with vulgar speech. Watch your average comedian today. I've heard people say, you know, that ain't right, but that sure was funny. Let me ask you this question. Is that of God? You want to know how to differentiate? Of course, jesting. Then notice what he says. Which are not fitting, but rather, turning the coin over, but rather giving of thanks. That's of God. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Anybody who practices that and there's no conviction, there's no turning from it ever, that they are not of God. They have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. It says it right here. It's not my words. Don't get upset at the messenger. This is just what God says. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He says God is going to rain his wrath down on the sons of disobedience. And when you're involved in that with sons of disobedience, he said you're going to be a little close to God's wrath and you don't want to be there. That's good preaching, preacher. Notice what he says in verse 10. These two words, finding out. I have in parentheses in my Bible. Finding out. What does that mean? To discover. To know. Finding out. What are we to strive to find out? What is acceptable to the Lord? What is acceptable to the Lord? Then he says in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Facebook. It's an amazing thing. I'm blown away by what can be accomplished in a positive way through Facebook. But I'm even more blown away and sometimes aghast of what Christians will post on Facebook. I mean, people call themselves believers and agreeing with things and liking things that are absolutely contrary to God's holy word. Where is the life of holiness in that? I've read where people who claim to be a follower of Christ and use language that would embarrass a sailor. No offense, sailors, Navy personnel, you know where I'm coming from. Brother Jack gave me a hand, so I'm good there, all right? He was in the Navy in World War II. He gave me a, all right, you're good, Pastor. The things that Christians take pictures of themselves engaging in that you cannot deem in any way as holy. Some of you right now are going through your Facebook posts to look and see if I'm talking about you. I know what you're doing. Okay? He said, finding out. Finding out what to discover, know what is acceptable to the Lord, which gives me the last mark. It's the mark of love, the mark of light, the mark of lordship. What is lordship? It's allowing Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. It's a surrender to His will, His way, His word, His holiness, His righteousness. You just keep naming it. That's lordship. You see, the problem that I have seen, and the problem I've even struggled with at times, is we have this attitude, we want to be in control. We want to be Lord of our life, and not allow Him to be Lord of our life. What does this lordship look like? First of all, it is deliberate. It's a choice you make as a follower of Christ. And let me just tell you, the old cliche, but it's so founded in truth, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. We're talking about the lordship of Christ. Notice what He says. See then that you walk, the word is circumspect. It literally means deliberately. You choose to walk this way. And my friend, listen to me. If you don't choose to be deliberate about your walk with the Lord, to walk in love, to walk His light, and to walk in His lordship, let me tell you, if you don't choose to do that deliberately and set up some boundaries, some rules in your life that you're going to follow, and please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be legalistic this morning. That's not the purpose of this message. Legalism is not a good thing. But Paul put it this way. He says, the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ compels me. He tells them to walk circumspectly, to walk deliberately. Notice what he says. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, the mark of lordship, it is deliberate. It is determined. What is it determined by? It's determined by what the will of the Lord is. And He says that we would know what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to do that? By finding out. By discovering, by knowing, by studying the Word of God, by attending Bible study, by coming to church, and coming to the training camp here as we go out to minister. Lastly, the mark of lordship, it is delightful. It is delightful. We talk about, you know, we Christians, we've got to the... Back in the day, as a matter of fact, this past week, and perhaps this sermon is probably more fire and brimstone than I've preached in a long time, but I was accused this past week of being a fire and brimstone preacher. And I will tell you, if that gets somebody out of hell, I'm fine with that. If it keeps them out of hell, fire and brimstone it is. But I hope that we will come to a place that we understand that what we're talking about. Years ago, I grew up under the ministry of a preacher. I mean, there were a lot of don'ts and not a lot of do's. And believe me, there's a lot of do's in the Christian life. But we've got so now focused on the do's, we've forgotten about the don'ts. Again, I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm just talking about finding out what the will of the Lord is and allowing Him to be Lord of your life. And if you can ask yourself this question, would this please the Lord? Or maybe you have the old bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Is this of God? Just some simple questions you can ask yourself to understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is not something that cannot be found. It's right here. We just need to do it. And it comes through His Lordship. And when we walk in love, and when we walk as light, and we walk in His Lordship, I dare say, those that know you, those that are around you, will say, they sure look a lot like their Father. And act a lot like their Lord Jesus Christ. There goes one of those Christians. How's your life? How's your holiness? Our time is gone. The question for you to be, number one, are you His child? Because it says, walk in love as a dear child. It says, walk in light as His children. You have to be His child. That only comes through repentant heart, turning from your sin, turning to Christ, confessing Him as Lord, asking Him to come in your heart and be your Savior. It's not in the prayer. That's just a part of the confession. It's in what He did on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because He loved you. The second thing is, if you are a follower of Christ, how's sanctification going? If you be honest with yourself, if you stood up during that last song, singing, holy, 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 you are holy, and you really believe that and you meant that, are you living that? Heads bowed and eyes closed.